Welcome back, Question Medicine 2020. This is Angel Bill down here in sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Another day, another dial, another week, another podcast. And I know, in the last podcast, I said I'd release these two podcasts at the exact same time. But it didn't happen at the exact same time. It happened roughly 24 to 48 hours apart. But let's be honest, you have to have a little bit of time to digest the first one before you can listen to the next one. So if you haven't listened to the last episode, go back, listen to that, and then this one will make more sense. Because in this one, we're going to talk about the one treatment that I think actually works. It's not being talked about a lot, but I'm pretty sure it works. And it's with very little evidence I believe this. It's almost an expert opinion zone, almost, except we do have some evidence that I'm going to draw on and talk about. And so with that, without any further ado, without any hesitation, without any reservation, it is good to be back. All right, here we go. Andrew Built, Question Medicine 2020, St. Petersburg, Florida. And the answer of what I think actually works, or at least works so far, and it has little side effects, it has little downside, little number needed to harm is approaching infinity, if you will. And the number needed to treat, I believe, is relatively high, or at least I'm going to guess it's relatively high. And that is mask. Yes, mask. Surgical mask, N95 mask, maybe even just a bandana over your face, but mask. Here's what we know about masks so far. Very little when it comes to the coronavirus, but we do know in a paper in JAMA 2019, September 3rd, titled N95 Respirators versus Medical Masks for Preventing Influenza Among Healthcare Personnel, a randomized clinical trial in which they set out to find, do N95 respirators reduce the risk of respiratory tract infections and transmission to clinical staff compared to surgical masks in the primary care setting? You see, N95 respirators have been shown to be superior to surgical masks in the controlled setting. And there is a huge plausibility when you look at them just in general. They should work better than surgical masks. There is no doubt in my mind. But the problem is it should work better in a controlled setting, and it does work better in the clinical setting, are two completely different questions. And usually, two completely different answers. It's why having a controlled setting with mice doesn't always pan out when it comes to humans, or having a controlled setting with one individual inside of a contained atmosphere doesn't always pan out when you have that individual actually go home, when you can factor in non-compliance with medications. All the things that go into our normal daily life and structure seem to throw the results of controlled settings right out the window because they're just not the same. Now, in this study, they took almost 5,000 healthcare workers and they randomized them to the N95 respirator, or you could get the surgical mask group. And the groups were told, listen, anytime that you're within 6 feet of patients with suspected or confirmed respiratory illness, then you are to wear this mask. You are to use hand hygiene as normal and as recommended. But we're trying to see here if the N95 respirator, when you're within 6 feet of a person who has suspected flu-like illness, or with the surgical mask, anytime you're within 6 feet of someone with flu-like illness, if either one of those will be superior to the other. And the outcome was laboratory confirmed influenza. If you were in the group that had the N95 respirator, well, then you had an 8.2% chance of developing laboratory confirmed influenza. And if you were in the surgical mask group, well, then it was 7.2%. So if anything, you could say that maybe the N95 respirators were worse and that they actually caused you a 1% increase in influenza confirmed, laboratory confirmed cases. However, there was no statistical difference there, and that's not how statistics work. So you have to say that these masks are essentially equal. The thing that I hate here is that they didn't use, in this trial particularly, they didn't use a placebo group or a no mask group. But we know from previous literature that there does seem to be a decrease in the rates of influenza-like illness or confirmed PCR influenza in those individuals that are wearing a mask. Okay, so that was just one little study, and that had nothing to do with the coronavirus, so let's move on to the next study. The next study is high-velocity nasal insufflation therapy application in management of COVID-19. Have patients wear a surgical mask. In this computer study, it showed that masks do help, but not necessarily mask on you, but mask on the patient. They took normal patients and evaluated them, and then they made computer models with characteristics that were similar to the exact person that they were modeling after, and they could cough and breathe at the same exact rate. And then they looked to see what happens to the particles that are being breathed out by these computer model dummies. Is this a perfect situation? Of course not. Would I rather it be a real person and not a computer model or computer dummy? Of course I would. But it's a little reasonable, and at least we have some data that shows us that the force at which you cough, the force at which you breathe, will or will not be prevented or projected or spewed out or will not be saved, those particles being spewed all over the world by these masks. At least a computer model is better than no model at all. So with just normal breathing, 87% of the particles were trapped in the mask. And when the patient had high flow nasal cannula, well then 83% of the particles were captured in the mask. So basically, put a mask on someone with COVID positive because it will limit the spread, at least in this computer model, of the viral particles into the air, which is what we really care about here, is how can we limit the amount of viral particles put into the air. Will it be the same in real life as it is in the computer models or is with these computer dummies? Of course not. But will it be more, or do I suspect more will be captured in the mask than absolutely nothing? And the answer is almost certainly yes. Yes, I do. And when you look at when a particle does escape the mask, which they did in this, what will happen to that particle? How far will it travel? You see, the question is, if you have a mask on and you have COVID and you have a mask on, if a particle escapes your mask, is it going to fly across the room, hit me in the face, and then all of a sudden, boom, I have COVID? Or is it going to escape, travel, I don't know, maybe a foot, 2 feet, and then fall to the ground? Well, then those are two very different and very important outcomes. If you had no mask on, then 31% of the particles traveled greater than 1 meter. If you had a mask on, that number decreased to 5%. And if you had a mask on, but you had high flow nasal cannula, then that number was still very low, 15%. So either way, if you have a mask on, we're looking at 50 to almost 80% decrease in the spread of the virus to 1 meter. But there was an article that just came out April 6th, Annals of Internal Medicine, and I'm sure you're aware of it. I'm sure you're thinking to yourself, I can't wait till he talks about this one, because this article talked about how the virus particles gets out of the mask, and this is the one that is going to prove his theory that masks actually work completely wrong. Well, this article was titled Effectiveness of Surgical and Cotton Mask in Blocking SARS-CoV-2 on Controlled Comparison in 4 patients. Ooh, yes, 4 patients. And it's not like we don't have a plethora of these patients out there. It's not like you couldn't run this with like 100 patients or 1,000 patients or 100,000 patients. We have a lot. Just go to any hospital, you're going to guaranteed find at least 4. Go to any community, you're going to find 4 patients. I don't know why this wasn't a little bit bigger, but I digress. The objective of the trial was to evaluate the effectiveness of surgical and cotton masks in filtering the SARS-CoV-2 virus. The subjects used either surgical mask, dental 100% cotton mask, or absolutely nothing. The investigators held a petri dish approximately 20 centimeters from the patient's mouth, basically 8 inches from the patient's face. And then patients were instructed to cough 5 times, each onto a different petri dish, either first while wearing no mask at all, and then they were to do another cough while they were wearing a surgical mask, and then they were to do another cough while they were wearing a cotton mask, and then they were doing another cough with, again, no mask at all. And remember, all 4 of these patients have coronavirus, so they are coughing on a petri dish 8 inches away, either with a mask, without a mask, or with a dental mask, all on their face. All the masks were swabbed on the outside to see how much particles were on the or if any particles were on the outside of the mask. When they looked at the petri dishes held 8 inches away from the face of the coronavirus infected patient. Well, the petri dishes all had about the same number of viral loads in them. When they swabbed the outside of these masks that were being coughed on, all of the masks on the outside were positive for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, whereas most of the swabs from the inner part of the mask were negative, which doesn't really make any sense. Maybe they're coughing so hard that it's forcing it right through the inside into the outside. The patients just coughed in the mask. They weren't wearing it continuously. I'm sure if the patients wore the mask continuously, the inside then would also have a lot of coronavirus on it. But I digress. In conclusion, the authors say, and I quote, "Both the surgical and cotton mask seem to be ineffective in preventing the dissemination of SARS-CoV-2 from the coughs of patients with COVID-19 to the environment and to the external mask surface." Here's why they're completely wrong. I don't care if the viral particle is 8 inches away from the patient's face. I don't care if the viral particle is on the outside of the mask that they're wearing, because that doesn't tell me what I want to know. I can tell you, as someone who has taken care of an individual with coronavirus, that there is very few times that my face or any part of me is 8 inches away from the patient's face. There is very few times at all that that occurs. And especially, it's not occurring when the patient is actively coughing. No way. I don't care who you are. If you've taken care of one of these patients, if they're hemodynamically stable, they're coughing, you back away. It is just your natural instinct. So telling me that there are some particles that are 8 inches away from their face when they're coughing, well, that's good and interesting and tells us that there are some particles getting out, but it doesn't tell me that that particle is flying across the room, hitting me in the face, and actually doing anything that I care about. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we know in the controlled setting, N95s have been shown to be superior to surgical masks, but that doesn't mean that they actually are when it comes to the real-world environment. In the end, the data we have on masks is not great. But I will say, I believe them to be true. I believe for them to actually work based on the simple terms of efficacy and effectiveness. See, these two words are often interchangeable. We say, oh, it's got a great effectiveness, it's got a great efficacy, and we think that we mean the exact same thing, except efficacy is whether an intervention has an effect in a controlled setting. And this is super useful when we're trying to figure out whether a certain mechanism could work or may not work just based on a single variable. But effectiveness is whether an intervention has an effect in a less controlled, pragmatic, real world, absolutely bare nuts, butts, and guts, this is how we're going to do it in the real life environment. Unexpected mechanisms, things that we think, oh, we are controlling for this in the lab, can go by the wayside. They become absolutely ineffective in the real world situation. The mechanisms of reality are often more complex and more difficult to control than what we can do in a lab setting. If you think that surgical masks don't work at all, that surgical masks absolutely do nothing as far as the spread of particles out of the patient's mouth, then I ask of you, do surgeons only wear surgical masks to prevent the spray of particles from the patient into them? Or do they also wear it to prevent the spray of their particles and their breath into the surgical site? You see, it does block it. I am sure, almost certain, that it does block it based on real world application of the mask. Does it block it 100%? Of course not. Are there some particles that are going to escape your mask no matter what mask you're probably wearing? Probably. But do I believe that the mask or any mask you wear is going to block enough particles that it's when it does escape, it's not going to fly across the room and hit me in the face, me the provider, me the person taking care of you in the face, so then I can not only take it home to my family but to other patients on the ward? Yes, yes, I do. And with that ending, I will end this podcast as I've ended every podcast before. And of course, if you learn anything at all, anything even a little bit remotely related to your current daily life and trying to battle this COVID-19 epidemic that we're currently experiencing, then I encourage you, please send this to one friend. Just one friend who also might benefit from this, because we are all scared. We all want to do what's best, and we all want to help the patient. So with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every podcast before it. Until next time. Keep the quest in questioning.